Добрый вечер. Меня зовут Дамьян. That's about all I know in Russian. I've learned the whole day. We're going to talk about containerization today. Excuse me if my French accent rises from time to time. It's the end of the day, and I tend to have the French coming back before getting out. We're going to talk about containers, and more specifically, we're going to talk about Docker and how or what Docker means for applications running in Azure, because this is the purpose of this presentation. We're going to cover why do we talk about containers today in this modern world. We are also going to see how you can create a container for an application. And my vision around that will be more from the infrastructure point of view versus some other speakers can talk about how you build applications. But we're going to see how we create the container itself. We're going to see how we run applications in the world of container. And at the end, I will open the discussion around how we manage all those containers, how all those containers will go together into what we call a cluster or pods. But we'll come to those terms at the end of the session. I will try to save a few minutes at the end of the time that we have to allow you to ask any questions that you may have around containerization in Azure. So why do we need containers? The main reason for containers comes from the conflict that we have between the developers, the operations, and the business. Every company today is a software company. And when you think of how that goes together, usually the business comes to the developers requesting new features, requesting new capabilities to the applications. And usually it has to come from the day before. They never give that with a month of warning. You have to do it right away. At the same time, for the operation guys, the IT, the traditional IT department, the question is, well, yeah, I have to follow some procedures. I have to do some work before I can deploy this new application on our IT. I have to make some control before we get there. At the same time, the ops are like, yeah, well, you know, I really need those controls because usually what happens is that your changes create problems. And those problems create interruption of service. So this whole connection between dev, business, and ops comes to DevOps. And I really highly want to touch DevOps here, because DevOps is about the people, how the people are organized. It's about the processes, how it works. And it's about the product. In this presentation, we're going to talk about the products. We are going to focus more on products. Let's have a look back in history. If we look at how we were using or how we were carrying goods before the 60s, basically the goods were stored in different containers. It could be a tank, it could be a bag for coffee, for example. It could be a box for other goods. And all those different ways of transporting goods were manipulated with different tools. It could go in a truck, it could go on a crane, it could go on a boat. Then the multiplicity had created all kinds of problems. How you could take a barrack on a crane? You needed tools to do that. So what has been introduced after the 60s is containers. And the containers have introduced the what we call intermodal shipping container approach. A container is basically a standard way to store goods, and all those containers have the same size. I don't know if you realize, but since the 70s, the containers have pretty much the same size. They can fit on any boat on Earth. They can pretty much fit on any truck because everything has been standardized on the size of a container. Some canals have even been sized based on the size of the containers. And that's how shipping has evolved over the years. That's how we change how we, let's say, with a coffee, it is how we change how we manage, how we, excuse me, this is how we've changed how we carry coffee from one continent to another continent. We carry containers. Well, containers have simplified how we carry goods and manufacturing product. Think of the same approach for software. Let's think that instead of having a software that has different dependencies depending on where it runs, we have a standard approach. And that software can run pretty much on any machine that exists. It could run on any flavors of one single operating system. Let's say we take an app and it runs on Ubuntu, CoreOS, transparently. That we can run that container, that application, on any versions of the operating system. We reduce the dependencies of the app to the operating system itself. This is what Docker is about. Docker is a platform that provides isolation. That provides isolations at the application level. If we look at the different techniques that exist, maybe the one that you know the most is the one on the total right, which is virtual machine isolation. That means that on Xen isolation or Hyper-V, you can run Linux VMs, you can run Windows VMs, and they are totally independent. It's the highest isolation we can find today. But containers is a bit higher than that. A container, Docker in this case, run at a higher isolation level, meaning you can run different containers on the same Linux operating system, but you will not be able to run Windows applications on top of Linux based on containers Docker-based. The other way around is the same, so you cannot run Windows app on Linux, or Linux app on Windows. But you can run Linux apps on different versions of Linux. Then we have applications or different levels of isolation, which are less isolated, going all the way to process levels, the Java VMs, the .NET VMs. Those are different levels of isolation, which are much less isolated. And the least I could find is basically threads. So threads have the lowest level of isolation that I can think of. So keep that in mind, and I'm going to highlight it on the screen. Containers is the level of isolation around applications. So, why do we run containers from a technical point of view? I give you the whole picture, I give you the analogy with the real world. Well, why do we want to run containers? Because we want to solve the problem of DevOps that I've presented at the very beginning. We want to allow the developers to write once their application and to make sure that this application runs everywhere. You can think of containers allowing, enabling the multi-tier applications to be distributed and not thinking on how it is distributed, removing the complexity or the burden of thinking on how those layers have to be connected, because that's something that is going to be abstracted and that's going to be handled by operations. Talking of operations, well, operations become more familiar with managing containers. Operations don't care what is in the container. What they care about is where the container is and how it runs. Think of my analogy with the real containers. As operations, I will be the captain of the ship. I drive the boat. What is in the container, I don't care. If it's a car, if it's coffee, if it's appliances, if it's drugs, I don't care. What I care is making sure the containers comes to the harbor. It brings to the operation the ability to have standardized deployment models. And by abstracting the level or the integration with the operating system, it allows to think differently of applications. The container itself can be toast because we have that container somewhere and we can redeploy it in an extremely fast manner. It allows also to do scale out in a very efficient way. So that brings the whole thing around DevOps and making sure we have that integration between the developers, the operations, the tools to make those apps run in the most efficient way. The developers will be focused on providing the apps and making sure those apps run smoothly. Testing the code, testing the features, and the ops will focus on deploying those containers and running the infrastructure. So, we'll cover the Docker fundamentals, and then we will provision a first container. We will run the hello world of containers. We will see how we get there. We will see how we run our container, and we will do all of that on Linux virtual machines running in Azure. I have, just as a warning, a heads up, I just have a little bit of Windows in this session. The rest is really about open source and Linux. It's where Docker runs today. We are working on some news around that, but I just wanted to give you a highlight that the current technology runs really on Linux. So Docker runs with two major components. You have the client, and you have the engine, or the daemon, as we say. They talk together. They can be on the same virtual machine. They can be on different machines. The connection between the client and the engine use TLS, So we rely on certificates to authenticate the client and the server, or the engine. The engine gets its container through images, we'll come to that in a minute, through what we call hub or registries. The difference between a hub and a registry is basically if it's private or public. Think of that as the app store. It's the app store for your company applications. The container you will run can come from the Docker Hub, which is the public repository, where today exist thousands of containers, or they come from a registry, which is your internal repository of containers. The client-server architecture brings the complexity of running, or the ability to run, multiple containers on the same host. So when you deploy your container, you will decide on which host you want to run the container. And it can be on one or multiple machines on your environment. Those containers can run the same version of an app with different properties. I will hopefully have the time to run the demo for that. But each container can run the exact same thing. Because of the isolation at the application level, they are independent. The Docker client is basically a command line client that will run different actions that are going to be executed on the host. The architecture of Docker is like that. So the engine and the client communicate to allow you to pass orders. Your client is your interface. And then the engine has, let's simplify this graph, three different interfaces. The first interface is, I would say, the libcontainer, which brings all the resource management capabilities. It will allow you to define properties of the container. The Docker network interface allows the container to interact with the network on the host. It will allow the container to get an IP address. It will allow you to define the port on which the container runs. And the thing is, the container will have its internal port, and it will have a port on the host. That is done by the bridge, the networking bridge. And when we run web application, it is important because each container can listen on the same port, but on the host, they have to be on different ports to not conflict. And finally, the other interface that exists is the graph, which allows the container to have access to storage. This is the storage access, the storage interface. So, if we run an application, if we run a container, there are some vocabulary, some terms that we need to know. The first term that you will hear me talking about is the image. The image is a read-only content. It's a template. That template cannot be modified. It is the base on which we run containers. Think of containers as the instance of the image. So we can take an Ubuntu image, but we will run a container of Ubuntu, which is basically an instantiation of that image on the machine where we run it. The registry, we talked about it a bit, It's the store for our images. It can be private or public. The container, the instance of the images. Networking, we have port mapping. Each port of the container has a connection with the port on the host, on the VM where it runs. And finally, the Docker file, which is like a script that describes how to create the container. The Docker file is basically a text file that says exactly what we need to do and what is our base image on which we run our container. So, let's do some demo. Let's play a bit with the product. Checking the time, we should be good. So, let's make sure that everyone can see something. I'm going to increase the size of the font. Should be good. Can everyone see the top line, the green, the matrix? Okay, so I'm on a machine that has Docker installed. So, if I type Docker version, I just get a permission denied. So, Docker runs as the root on that machine. So, it's something we have to consider. Docker runs as the root. So, whenever we do Docker stuff, we need to type sudo Docker, which actually makes sure that we have the right permissions to run there. I'm running different versions, so that's something you want to do to verify that you're running the right, you're in the right environment. So, I'm running on Azure, and what we have done, let me come back to that in a minute, I just want to show you the Docker thing. So, on this machine, I'm going to run sudo docker and I'm going to run an image called BusyBox. And that on that BusyBox, I'm going to run a simple hello world. So what Docker is doing right now, it verifies if locally I have the BusyBox image, which is not the case. So what Docker is doing on that VM, which is VM running in Azure, it connects to the Docker repository or Docker Hub to download the real image, get a copy locally on that machine where I am, and instantiate a container based on that image. So what I've done, I don't have the image, so basically I go to the store, I go to supermarket with my list. So I want the latest version of BusyBox. Get the latest version, get it in my bag, get home on my machine. That's why we get those four downloads, because that BusyBox image actually has four dependencies. So I get the whole dependency with me, and at the end I execute the code, which says hello world. Which says hello world. So, let's have a look at the Docker Hub. So that's Docker Hub. And I'm going to look for a busy box. So it gives me some information around the BusyBox. It's basically a very small Linux running, and it does basic stuff here. I'm not going into any more details here. If you want, you have a Wikipedia page on BusyBox if you want to get more details on that. So now that I have my BusyBox running, I'm going to show you the image, how it looks on this environment. Oops. So here it is. I know it's the latest. And we have a grid at the right-hand side that tells me how to get there. You can see I have multiple images already downloaded on that machine. So in this configuration, my machine, is my client and my host. They both run in the same environment. Now, I told you that you can have the client and the host running on two different environments. So from that command line, I can use the Azure CLI, Azure Command Line Interface, to kick off the deployment of a new Azure virtual machine that will have the Docker client already installed, sorry, the Docker host already installed. So what we have done between Microsoft Azure and Docker, we have integrated into our command line interface the ability to kick off the deployment of a machine with the proper configuration. That command line interface creates the proper certificate on my client machine so that I don't have any problem connecting to this environment. So it used the Azure VM. Azure VM Docker create. Then I need to specify the port, the location, and you need to specify the name of the host, and then you need to define, and for that I'm going to be super lazy. So you define the image from which we run the Docker container. And then I define my username, Azure user, and password. Tor is not going to run because the password is not complex enough. But what it does, it will start the deployment of a new Docker VM that has the host running and will instantiate the certificates on that machine. When that command line is running, I will be able to do a Docker TLS, define the host name, and by that, I need to type the right name. I've prepared that. Oops, Docker. And do info. Docker TLS TCP. So what I'm doing right now is I'm connecting to my host, which is a different environment in Azure, getting all the properties. So I know how much space I have, I know if there's any containers running, I know how many images are already installed on that machine. So basically I have a machine that runs in Azure with zero containers running in 75 images. Okay, but you're going to tell me, that's nice, but I need to be on a Linux machine to configure my containers in Linux in Azure. I just want to show you something that is fairly new, and so it's been announced a few days ago. It's been published a few days, weeks ago. We have provided, as open source, the Docker command line interface for Windows. So now, I'm in a command prompt on Windows, and you can actually do it. You can actually compile the Docker command line interface on Windows. And I'm going to do the same thing for my Windows environment. So I need to provide a few things. I need to provide the certificates. That's one of the difference. To connect to my remote environment, I define the TLS root CA certificate. And I define the host, which is the same one, dcaro-docker.cloudapp.net on the port 4243. Now with the same thing, I can see the containers running. So just ps-a, which will provide the list of containers. So the Docker client for Windows is exactly the same thing than the Docker client on Linux. It is just, it has been ported. We use Go languages because Docker has been created in Go. And, oops, didn't respond. And you just recompiled the Docker client on Windows, and it will run in a command prompt. So, now let's do a bit more fun. Oops. That's internet. That's a problem when you do things in the cloud. Let's see. Aha. Okay. You know what? Sometimes the Wi-Fi is not so bad. Okay. Or we have really lost the connection to internet. Nah, I have it. Yeah, it just
you are not the one who has the
internet. Oh, you two have problems?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, it just
I mean it's already I just plug it in.
Okay. We'll see. Let's see what's going on. Yeah.
Just put okay.
Let's try again. What I wanted to do, let me explain you what I wanted to do if we don't have internet access. So what I wanted to do was to run WordPress on two machines. Oh, there we go. So what I want to do is to run WordPress in two different containers with two different versions. And we have the ability to do that. So, now that I have access to my machine, I'm going to use Docker to run the WordPress with a certain name. So I'm going to run my container. give a name to my container. I just need MySQL first. So I give a name to the container that is going to run. And then I specify some parameters. The root password of the MySQL environment. The -d will make it run as a daemon, so it runs in the background. And I verify that I use the MySQL image. I forgot to specify the host name. So let me use my cheat sheet for that. So just the trick I've done is I've exported the Docker host as a variable, so it connects to the same machine every single time I run Docker. So I've started the Docker MySQL container. Let's verify if it's running. So it is running. It's been up for 19 seconds. So that's my first MySQL container. So the next thing I'm going to do is run WordPress. So I'm going to run the WordPress container. And what I'm doing here is I'm creating what we call a link. So I'm linking my WordPress container with my MySQL container. Both containers run on the same host, and they're connected. So what we've just done, we've itemized our application. Each layer can run on the same host. They could run on multiple hosts. They could run on multiple levels. The Docker container runs. And now that our both containers are tight, well, it allows us to make those levels, each of the layers of the app, evolve at a different pace. So if we have an update on WordPress, we would evolve the WordPress containers. If we had an update on the MySQL, we could evolve the MySQL container, and they would be independent. Now, furthermore, we could run different versions. So we could run the WordPress container, and let's say we have to update that WordPress container. We could run a first version of the container, an updated version, and we can attach to each of those versions. So if you have versioning to make, you can attach to the right version and roll back in case that's necessary. So we should be able to access the WordPress info. So it's running on my environment. It's running on port, let me show you. It's running on port 8080. That's where we define the ports. There we are. So now we have a full WordPress running on port 8080 for this container. We could rerun those two environments. So I could run MySQL again, but instead of using using a different name, so I'm going IT Cloud MySQL 2. Because the image exists already, running a new instance of MySQL is super fast. It takes like 3 seconds. And running MySQL, running, sorry, WordPress, it's going to be as fast. I just need to type correctly and make sure I don't use the same port. Here we are. I just have a new instance of WordPress in MySQL. How much did it take? 10 seconds by the time I typed the names and the command lines. And it's running on port 8081. So if we go for the 8080 with something here, if I go for port 8081, I have a new one. And we could do as many as we want as long as we have resources. We're in the cloud, so technically we are limited, unlimited resources. So let's see which images I have. Checking time, I'm good. So there is one container I'd like to show you, and I was finishing this demo right before we start the session. So we have instantiated ASP for Linux. And we provide a container for that. Meaning, you can download, here is the app, you can download the ASP.NET container, run this container on your machine, and run your ASP.NET app on a Linux machine on a container. So what you need to do is to, I'm just going to follow this one, I'm going to clone the GitHub environment, which is already done, should be done. So I've cloned the ASP.NET repository from GitHub to my machine. And I've created a file called Dockerfile. The Dockerfile, as I said, describes how the container should run. So it says, well, it relies on Microsoft ASP.NET. It will copy the content of the local directory to the app directory on my ASP.NET container. Then I will expose port 5004 on that container. And when I run the container, I will map the port 5004 to port 80, so it runs as a web application. So once you have done that, I need to build my container. To build my container, so it's going to be sudo docker build -t my app dot and build. I've already done the build. The container is there. Now what I just need to do is docker run. Oops. Run, sudo docker run minus -t minus -d for daemon. I want the port 80 map to port 5004. My app. And there we go. So this should make my ASP.NET app running on the port. Oops. Wrong port. It should be on port 80. Hmm. Docker, the container runs. Oh, it has exited. Okay. You can try to run it again. Let's see. One try. Nah. Okay, I have to look at that. I may have typed something too fast. But basically, it would run an ASP app on Linux. I have 5 minutes left. The only thing I wanted to show you, but I will just show you the code, and if you... We will not have the time to run it, but if you want to do that. I just wanted to show you how you can create your own repository or your own containers. So once you have built your image, so basically you build your image, you would then verify that the image runs and that that is what the developers will do. They verify that their image runs. Then you push the image to the public repository or to your own repository. That will make this container available to anyone who wants to grab this container and run it on their machine. So the way it works is you get it from a central repo and download on every single machine. Containers will not run forever. Containers should be treated as red shirt in Star Trek. Anyone remembers from Star Trek, that version? The red shirts are disposable characters. No one remembers them from one session to another session. Containers should be handled the same way. And the way it works is, after a while, it will become a bit complex. And you want to use management tools to manage the containers, where they are, on which host they run, and what they're doing. So for that, Google has developed a product called Kubernetes. And we have collaborated with Google to make sure that Kubernetes understands Azure. So now, with Kubernetes, you have a master server that runs in Azure and can deploy VMs in Azure where the containers will run, so you can scale out any layer of your tiered application. The containers will be grouped into what we call pods, and the pods is described through a JSON file. The JSON file will say how many instances of the container you want, which port you want to use, how they're going to be deployed, what is their name. With all of that, you will have the ability to describe with code your infrastructure and your application. Containers bring the value of the flexibility, the dynamics, and the ability to roll forward, roll back, in case you have a problem in deployment. It allows every person in IT to focus on their main job. What I would just remind is we've seen how you create a simple container, we've seen how you create your own, and how you manage it with Kubernetes on Azure. There are plenty of resources. You will have access to the slide if you want to learn more. It's a very broad topic. There is a lot of content. There is a lot of things happening at this time. It's a very hot topic. And I really recommend that you look a bit more on these technologies, on this platform. I see the counter. We have 45 minutes for questions. So if there is one question in the room, I can take it. If not, I'll be here all evening. If not, here are my coordinates. Don't hesitate to reach out to me if you have any further questions on Azure and Docker. With that, спасибо большое. До свидания.